I often say that addiction is the result of not knowing how to find safety inside of yourself. So you find it in something else, and understandably, you get hooked on it because you're desperate for safety. That's all you're guilty of. Any of you looking to learn more about supporting addiction recovery through a trauma-informed and somatic lens and a nutritional lens, please join me for my addiction circle. This is a bi-monthly, entirely free virtual circle that I invite anyone here to come and join if they want more information. Addiction tends to be so steeped in shame, and I find that doing this work in a community of people helps to destigmatize that shame so you can see how not alone you are in the experience. So whether you are personally withdrawing, preventing, experiencing relapse, or you work with people who are actively addicted or in recovery, all are welcome.
The next Addiction Circle will be held on Tuesday, May 7th at 5 p.m. EDT. This meeting is not recorded for the sake of anonymity. No registration is necessary. Just join through the link below.
It took 17 months of basically working with this through many different angles, you know, topics we talked about, things in my life and my history, but doing somatic work and all this stuff. But the overall, what I look back and see we were doing is helping my body realize that it was safe to even venture out of shutdown mode a little bit and come out and out, and expanding that capacity little bit by little bit, until one day there was like a critical mass of safety and an awareness in my body and my nervous system, in that unconscious automatic reaction that just got it, that I didn't need to go straight to shutdown mode. And it was like ecstatic.
Welcome to the Holistic Life Navigation Podcast, where we explore life through the lens of somatics. I'm Luis Mujica, a somatic educator who teaches people how to find safety in themselves. Your turn to learn begins now. Welcome, Natalie Ross, the artist formerly known as Earthspeak, to the podcast. I wanted to tell everybody that this whole thing with you is so interesting, the whole full circle of knowing you and having you in these circles of mine now and with me. Because you, you know, people always talk about their big break. I call you my big break. You're my big break because, and then I'm going to let you introduce yourself. I just have to say this. I had no interest in being on social media, you know, for most of my life. And it was maybe 2 or 3 months before 2020, I started an account just to kind of like, I'll just, you know, put some stuff up here to help people. And then I put up a post about fawning, I think. And then you had me on your program. I think I reached out to you after hearing you on Karen Elliott speaking. That's what it was. I found Karen Elliott on your show because my wife is a big fan. And then I was like, Natalie sounds really intelligent. I want to speak to her. So I wrote, and you had me on. And that like felt like it catapulted everything I do, because so many people were coming in droves that heard that extremely unorthodox, you know, trauma therapist, me talking about these things. And so I just want to thank you for that, for, you know, giving me that platform and asking such good questions. And now it's so cool that we get to keep weaving. So that was my little ditty. Why don't you say who you are to this crowd?
Thank you. My scalp is like tingling. It feels like just receiving that, it feels so delicious. Thank you. And yeah. Well, hi, I am a human being here on Earth doing weird human stuff, you know, and I think before I even talk about me, I want to talk about our relationship and what that instigated for me too, because you came into Earthspeak, we had you on our podcast, we collaborated, and you taught a workshop in our community about somatic therapy. And it was a pivotal moment for my life too, because I have been on a trauma healing journey since probably conception, right? You know? And
trauma begins at conception.
generations back, right? And learning about somatic therapy and witnessing just the way you worked with the volunteer and the way you spoke about it, it just clicked something for me. I went and got myself a therapist, a somatic experiencing therapist, like the next month. And I still work with her now, years and years later.
Wow. Yeah.
And I am a different person now. And I am even in the end of the second year and into my third year of the somatic experiencing certification to do this work and help others, because it is like,
so you're intermediate level right now.
Yes. Yeah. I've completed intermediate, but I haven't started advanced yet. So
Tell me, when you say it's changed me as a person, like when you think of yourself in 2020 and you think of yourself now from doing this somatic work, like receiving it and now learning it and practicing it and holding it for other people, what's shifted? What do you feel?
Well, I spent a lot of my life in freeze and shutdown. I mean, to the point where, you know, I've had constant digestive problems. And like when we're in shutdown, and I know your listeners are interested in the nervous system and they all have different levels of understanding and awareness. So if you want me to unpack or restate something to make more sense, let me know. But, you know, there's the fight, flight, freeze, appease. And then that very extreme shutdown of like, okay, I am not able to fight or flee. Freezing is okay. It's doing something, but not really enough. Like we're probably going to die. I'm just going to go into shutdown. And like, my system is like, well, how do we conserve life energy and either numb the pain or potentially get through this by just completely collapsing? And I literally would faint as a child. I am not exaggerating. Like I've been in shutdown mode, you know?
Yeah.
And, a series of events and things made just added to that. Like life was not easy. And growing up, like coming out of that, out of growing up, out of high school and going into college, I just like spiraled. I spiraled and I was like, I don't even know how to be human in this world. I don't know how to function or exist. Everything was so hard. I was always exhausted. I was depressed. I was called lazy. I was called cavalier. I was called all these things and just like irresponsible and disrespectful and all these things. But I was actually just like so dysfunctional as a human that I couldn't engage at a level that the world required me to engage at in order just to survive and take care of myself as a sovereign being.
Let's pause there a minute, because this is such a beautiful, intimate introduction to the collapse response. Like you're teaching so many people about, you're giving words and terms, understandings for these things behind like, quote, laziness, right? Cavalierism, I'll call it, and lethargy and hopelessness, like these things that we feel and identify with. When really, I'm going to underline what you said when you're introducing it, it's this animal instinct that the body goes through to conserve energy. If the body's at its edge of capacity and charge and trauma response, and it feels like even near death, even if you're not experiencing near death, but the body's at this extreme overwhelm, collapse, shutdown is an option. And so I just wanted people to hear that so they know it's something their body is doing. It's not who they are and it's not their choice. So I'm assuming you've created over these last 4 years an intimate relationship to that shutdown. Like, what was that like?
Yeah, I also want to say it's not a moral failing. It's not a character flaw. Like, oh, gosh, just, yeah. So my path took me to intuition. I mean, being in that space is such a liminal space. Mm-hmm. And just being in that shutdown mode for so long and freeze, I naturally became attuned to the energetic world, subtle energy, spirit, and beyond. I mean, I have been obsessed with death. You know, I've dwelled in that very liminal space because of this. And I think a lot of people who are very intuitive often come to that intuitive sense because of some hypervigilance or some trauma response that actually attunes them to a different spectrum of things that they can pay attention to in the world. And so,
that's a beautiful way to put that. I agree. I love that.
And it's not the only way one can be intuitive, but having worked with thousands of people who have come through, hundreds and thousands of people who have come through their intuitive journeys. I'm like, oh, this is a common thread. Like, they are very intuitive because often because they've dwelt in these liminal spaces as, you know, reactions from their body trying to protect themselves against perceived threats. And it's just, yeah. So I went
You're
on a
speaking
deep...
my language now. You're speaking my language, Latterly.
My language.
You're speaking my language, Latterly. Because you really are, because the way you just said that was so gorgeous. I've said it in other ways, but that's like such a clear, sharp way to put it. Is we've dwelled in that liminal space, in those liminal spaces when you're dealing with especially developmental trauma, that all these interesting medicines and gifts, you know, come to us in that liminal space once we learn how to integrate it. I just love that, because I've seen trauma as an initiatory. I've experienced it like that myself. So that reads really nicely for me.
Thanks.
So what is it like for you now? Like, does your body still go into collapse and you relate to it better? Has the collapse decreased? Like, tell me about that.
So about 17 months in to my work with my therapist, we're doing weekly sessions, I had a major shift. It was like I became myself on a whole new level. Because up until that point, like, the thing about being in that shutdown mode is even moving towards mobilization, even moving towards anything that would melt that freeze is in itself a threat that goes back on a feedback loop to put one right back into shutdown mode and need to self-protect. In by like the body is like the only method we have is shutting down, freezing, collapsing. And so it took 17 months of basically working with this through many different angles, you know, topics. We talked about things in my life and my history, but doing somatic work and all this stuff. But the overall, what I look back and see we were doing is helping my body realize that it was safe to even venture out of shutdown mode a little bit and come out and out and expanding that capacity little bit by little bit, until one day there was like a critical mass of safety and an awareness in my body and my nervous system in that unconscious automatic reaction that just got it, that I didn't need to go straight to shutdown mode. And it was like ecstatic, like energy running through me, like inspiration, motivation, courage, just capacity to do things I couldn't do before. And it was like a blossoming. It was freaking amazing. And it was like a high. It like lasted for weeks, almost 2 months, of just like being like, my body was just like, oh, I feel like this is what it really feels like to be alive. And I've never felt it like this.
I know that feeling. You know, when you were describing it, I was feeling really emotional, and I was feeling all this love for you, because I'm thinking about like that blossoming, like you said, and that the way you just said it, like, I felt alive. You know, when you're living in a functional freeze or a collapse or a fight or flight most of your waking life, you can't really perceive life, because all your cells, your body, your bones are oriented towards survival. So you can't even take in your environments or experiences. So I know that feeling when this kind of strange cocoon like dissolves around you and you can feel for the first time, and it feels good. It's not like scary. It's like, oh, this is pleasurable to be alive. That's a really sacred experience when you've done this work with your body, isn't it?
Yes. And it's part of what motivates me to help other people, because this is such a gift of being human.
It is.
It almost brings tears to my eyes just to like know how hard it was to live without that, and then to experience that. And it didn't make all my problems go away. I still had tons of problems and challenges, but like, I just could engage with life and actually desire to live in a whole new level. And
that's right.
Oh, God, because I go deeply existential, you know, having spent a life in shutdown.
Absolutely.
I would call myself an optimistic nihilist, you know?
Well, like, you've been in the underworld of your body, you know, for most of your life.
And that's
kind of emerging. It's interesting, because when you were talking about something drastically shifted in you and you're not in that collapse like you used to be. Your body doesn't go right to it like you used to be. It has all these other options. I so resonate with that because I used to have so much anxiety. And I remember I at one point I had an anxiety attack that lasted several months. It was like I would wake up as if I ran a marathon. I would go to sleep as if I ran a marathon. It was like my B12 levels were depleted. I was so stressed. And I started somatics about 10 years ago, 10 years ago was my kind of my early entrance. And it's been 8 years, and I think I've had like two bouts of anxiety in 8 years, and they've been a couple hours, and I've been able to relate and connect to it, and it shifted. Now, that would have never, ever happened to me before. So this work is, I'm blessed and privileged. I'm going to have Peter Levine on the show. He's coming up in a couple months because he wrote an incredible new book that is coming out. And I'm going to be talking to him about it. But I can't wait to thank him because he gave me my body back, you know, this work. And I'm imagining that for you, too.
Yes. And I feel that towards you just for being a channel, a vessel of bringing me in contact with somatic experiencing. And like this is, it is to me a way that we have agency. We reclaim that agency that we are in a world where we cannot, there's so much we cannot control. Mm-hmm. And there is so much. Like, even we can't control that unconscious automatic reaction that our nervous system has towards internal and external stimuli every moment of every waking and sleeping existence. I don't know, every mode of existence.
Yeah.
But we can control and engage with and relate with the way that we support and nurture our nervous systems to notice that they're safe. Or to more accurately perceive what's a threat and what isn't, and to have more access to that fullness of that spectrum, not just to try to only be in this like calm, centered, connected state, but to be in the fullness of that spectrum without getting stuck or spiraling into the 2 month anxiety or the, you know, because I resonate with that too. Like I, coming out of that, there were times where I would get triggered into collapse or freeze, but I would come out of it so much faster. I had context for what was happening and I had tools and I could navigate through it. And then my nervous system became more resilient and more had more capacity for charge and for I could handle really intense things. And instead of it just collapsing, I could mobilize, I could flee, or I could be like, wait, I'm going to go into freeze. You need to stop or leave. And like, that's put right. in some confrontation, bring up fight. Like, I remember getting access to my fight response, which I have been a feisty, like, it's not like I've never had access to this or never had pleasure or never had aliveness, but it's like, it wasn't something I had easy access to. Like,
yeah.
And when I say like, yeah, the ease. And it's still something, you know, that was in early 2021. So it's, you know, 2 years later, what year is it?
24.
3 years later. Like I'm still learning and expanding. This is going to be a lifelong expansion. I'm still gaining access to my fight.
It's endless.
And it's awesome. Yeah.
Well, every life experience to every situation we go through, it informs it even more. It's like once you've grieved a new grief, like, oh, I understand grief a little more. You know, it's like you move into another house, you lose money, you get sick. Oh, I understand all this a little more. It's like every life event becomes this incredible learning opportunity when you have these tools to self-relate. When you don't have the tools, it's like suffering. It's madness. Yes. But once the tools are, it's like, oh, this is going to be hard, but I got this.
Yes.
And I want to say for those listening, I have you on here to talk about marketing. And you would think I have you on here just to talk about a beautiful, deep existential relationship to somatics. That's how we're starting. And I think it's good that we're starting like that because I want people to get a sense of your understanding of embodiment, your relationship to the body, your relationship to somatics and trauma, and how that gets fed into this work around teaching people marketing. So I first want to know what started first, marketing or somatics for you?
Oh. Marketing. I've been into marketing unknowingly my whole life. I didn't know I was into marketing. If you told me as a teenager that I would be into marketing, I'd be like, can I cuss on here?
I'd yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'd be like, fuck off, bitch. I'd be like, no.
There's that fire
I was
response.
Pretty spicy. Yeah, yeah, I was spicy. It was some things that happened, especially in the end of high school, that really shut me down. So, like, there was some spicy years. I would have been like, no way. That's disgusting.
Yeah, yeah. I get it. I get it. Someone's like, Luis, you're going to be teaching people about trauma. I'm like, why do I want to do that? I'm going to be a rock star. Fuck that shit.
Right? Rock.
Boring. Not. Now I'm like, this is the most psychedelic thing I've ever done.
This is the most rock and roll fucking shit you could ever do.
So rock and roll. So it's like, I want to know what, how, okay, the first question is, how do you experience marketing?
Oh, like that.
Mm. Ooh, everyone listen to that for a minute. That's not how most people, that's not the soundbite most people use to experience marketing.
No.
How does that, how does that feel in your, I'm going to do that too. where do you feel that? What's that about?
It's just like a relaxing back into the arms of being held by community, ooh, by connection, by the universe. It is.
Ooh. Everyone take
and as
notes.
I say that, yes. And I say that, I feel my heart like just kind of like burbling up and like fizzling and like, oh, it's just like, this is kind of like, marketing is not a tactic or a strategy. It is something that we already always do, and it's been co-opted by this system that wants us to put it into specific frameworks and strategies, and we have to reach specific goals and da da da. And I love numbers, I love goals, I love strategies, but they come in service of connection.
So you said marketing is something we always do. Like,
yes.
Tell me what that means.
It's connection. It's just connection. And like, this is what, like, from that nervous system level of having more connection within oneself, one's own potential within the hardware of their nervous system to have this experience, all the way out to being able to be connected to another, whether that's another human, to a tree, a frog, a molecule of soil, you know, an element, air, spirit, ancestors. Like, we are always in connection. We're never not in connection. And like, the kinkiest part of this planet is that we think that we're disconnected, and it feels so real, and it sucks. And it's like, this is right. The, you know, it's like that. And that, I think, is where a lot of people get really like, this, it's all about connection. It's all about connection.
Hey, my friends, I created a space that is affordable, accessible, and anyone is allowed to join anytime. And it's called the Library Membership. The Library Membership is an online private platform that hosts dozens of my webinars, my somatic practices, private mini lectures, and movement practices. There's also a monthly sound healing, and you'll be invited to a weekly Tuesday live mini practice with me and other participants. You'll also be invited to be a live audience member in our monthly HLN team podcast recordings, where you'll take place in the Q&A that happens off air after the episode is filmed. For more information on this membership, click on the link below, or go to holisticlifenavigation.com and click on membership and then library. You can join right now, and you can cancel or pause your subscription at any time. I look forward to seeing you in there. It's all about connection, yeah. And I wonder, when you feel into, in your body, when you've tried to market from the place of a tactic compared to marketing from just, I'm just going to connect with this person. What's the difference? Like, how does your body feel those? How do you see other people's bodies feeling that shift from tactic to connection?
I don't know. The answer that, what I want to say does not, I just want to go with it.
Do it.
I feel like it's going to get us there. Okay. There's something is so important about the difference between a tactic and connection. And the word repair is coming to mind. Mm-hmm. Because tactics that we're taught, that I've been taught, that I've been exposed to and consumed and maybe tried for marketing, which with air quotes, they're not centered on connection. They're centered on how do we consume, dominate, extract from, gain from another? How do we take? How do we get in front of it, take from another? Even that, but then how do we put a nice shiny package on it that we're actually giving to another? And we should do everything we should possibly do to get how we can help them in front of them and to get them to buy. And like, it's so manipulative and it's so not in service of another's sovereignty or agency. And it is not connection. This is not connection. That is disconnect. This is
so
rupture.
I reflect what I'm hearing, like any rupture, which I appreciate, is is like I'm focused on what I get from you. So I would I often call this transactional marketing, right?
Yeah.
It's like, what am I getting from you? So there's that piece. The tactic is, what am I getting from you? What does the connection do?
So connection is coming from that place of like, what is it that I am offering in service? And not just in service of everyone else, but in service of myself and others. And this is why I appreciate the I don't even remember what you called it, but the program I went with you.
Embodied practitioner.
Embodied practitioner. Because you, this is all what you talked about. You know, this is what you guided people towards. But in service of, what is it that is your contribution? What is, and how is this, like, I am very intuitive and into the woo, just no shame. So, you know, I'm a vessel, and you don't have to be, you can be an artist, you can be anyone, anything, but like, as a channel, as a vessel, as a piece of, I am Natalie interconnected with the greater living experience of this co-created universe. And something is channeling through me to be offered to others through my life experience, through the ways that I show up and engage with people, through the ways that I offer my nervous system to others, through the way I offer just my presence in a checkout line. It is like, I, you know, my being is a contribution, and my offering in a business is the way that I've packaged that so that the people who can benefit from it can work with me and experience that specific thing in that way. And so it's so, let's see, let me get, I'm getting very all over. Let me come back to the connection piece, because connection versus tactics is, connection leads the way. Is connection is about noticing what's happening in one's nervous system as we set targets, as we set intentions, as we engage in a method or a practice or a tactic or a strategy or a framework, and letting that be the navigator, the compass, rather than being like, I have to put my, I have to answer this question and then do this thing and this thing, and then it'll get this result, like a machine. Like,
agreed.
So I love the I love the tactics. I love the thing, like numbers. I love all that. But those alone, they do not embody that connection piece. Without that, we're just kind of going through the motions. We're not actually living, engaging.
Well, when you're saying about feelings in the nervous system, how it's experiencing it, it's kind of like we were working on in the practitioner group I led around, how does my body experience the email? How does my, even how you just did when you were like going really exciting, you stopped and pulled yourself back in, you're noticing like, how's my body experiencing what I'm saying right now? And I think that when we think about transactional marketing, we're so focused on the goal, like on where it's supposed to bring us, that we lose the relationship in front of us. Especially the work that we're, I mean, I guess the work everyone's in, because if you market, you're marketing to humans. Like, you're not marketing
exactly
to animals. So it's like, there's human beings you're marketing to. So it's all based on them buying something, showing up to your event, whatever it is. But there's a relationship there. There's a relationship potential, I should say.
Yes.
And if it's transactional, you're going to bypass the relationship potential. But if it's connecting, you're kind of, I don't know if centering is the right word, but there's such a, for me at least, when I'm doing it in this connecting way, there's such an embodiment around, what's the relationship here? What's the intention behind my words? What's the feedback I'm receiving? And it's kind of this like constant back and forth with my audience.
Yes, exactly.
Is that how you experience it too?
Yes. You have to actually engage with other people.
Yeah.
And like have a relationship on some level. You don't have to have a deep relationship with every single customer or client, but it's like, you're in this, you know, you have to actually engage and connect with others. And it's not just, here's what I'm going to put out there, or here's what they want from me. It's like, we're in a blended We're blending our different wants and needs and desires and offerings to find that nice sweet spot of like, I can offer you this and you're looking for this, and this, we can make this exchange and have these agreements, and we are both regulated around this, and this is great, and we're gonna, you know, this is the adventure we're gonna take right now. And
well, I'll tell you,
so different.
It really is. And part of the difference there is the audience builds more trust with you. Because I've been doing that kind of more connected marketing these last, I would say, 3 or 4 years. And my newsletter, the trust I can tell that we have is so gorgeous. Like when I offer something, it's just such a deep, simple offering without any promises. So the people that sign up, they're really, it's almost like I'm giving them something they've asked for. So I don't even have to sell it, if that makes sense.
Exactly.
And so I'm wanting to know how much is listening, how much is, you know, receiving and considering, and kind of even the humility of being told that something didn't land well or they want more of this. How much of that is part of this connected, reparative kind of marketing place?
Yeah. Tons of it, because I'm very visual, and so I'm seeing like kind of mainstream marketing is like linear, like I'm gonna put this out there and then you're gonna give this back, it's this transaction thing. Or but in this connection piece, with through connection, we have to go on the adventure of the relationship. We have to go and face those unknowns. When we put ourselves out there, we don't know if people are going to judge us, accept us, put us on a pedestal and worship us. Like there's so many potentials of things, and some of them are exciting, some of them are scary. And we have to engage with that, not only with the other. Like if I put myself out there and someone says to me, "I hated that, Natalie," it doesn't mean like I just have to change myself so that they like me. We have to navigate this in relationship and say, well, you know, how do I want to show up and address that? What, you know, I would like to know, like, what is it that, what came up for them? What is it that they hated about it? And then I would consider, well, are they the person that I'm actually trying to work with and reach? And like, how do I, how can I make repair in this moment? Like, who's actually, like, what is the responsibility of whom here? Because there's so, when you get into it at this level, you get into the relationship trauma that so many people are carrying, where, you know, we have been taught that other people are in control of our experience. And there are real places and times and ways that we influence and are in control of and responsible for others' experiences on certain levels, right? But if I'm here as a business owner and I'm saying, here's my offer, here's my perspective, and I put it out there and someone's going to come back to me and say, this is wrong, this is absolutely wrong. And I'd be like, well, I could either say, like, let's talk about it. Or I could say, well, I disagree with you. Like, I can respond however I want. I can respond with fight.
So I have a question about that. How do you help people navigate that piece of, okay, I have an audience, I'm afraid to say this thing because they won't like it and I'll lose people. How do you help people find safety in losing some followers, clients, customers, whatever it is? Because, let's say, as a result of maintaining their integrity, if someone says, you better not say that word, or you better apologize for this, or I don't like that, or I'm not following you, or I'm not going to take this. And you just say, I get it. Yeah, you're allowed to leave. It's okay. This is what I believe. I see right now one of the most, you know, tense topics are just being afraid to be canceled, like saying the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So how do you navigate people?
Or not saying the right thing, or not saying anything at all.
Or not saying anything at all, like whatever it is. There's always going to be someone in your audience that demands something of you. How do you help people not fawn, you know, out of fear of losing audience?
Well, for one, marketing doesn't just look at your business, it looks at your life. Like if you really want to market from a place of connection, then we're going to look at who do you feel connected to and supported by in your life. And nurturing that, nurturing the community, the friendships, the family, the people that are your closest circles, and having those connections be healthy and supportive, that makes the risk of being canceled or being not liked or judged by someone else matter so much less.
Because I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. without having that actually being connected and engaged with the people in your life, because you're living your life, you're not just working, you know, living to work, you know, we're working and living. And you gotta have some, and the word that comes to mind is like some sort of secure connection that it really helps you know that no matter what, you are still going to be okay. Attending to that. And yeah, that helps expand that capacity to take the risk of putting oneself out there, of not being liked, of saying the wrong thing or not saying the thing or whatever, all kinds of risks.
That's really good stuff. Like securing yourself in where you actually have supportive, deep relationships.
Because that
one person or those 10 people or the 5% of people that don't like you because of what you say or do, they're not supporting you already, most likely.
No. If you're relying on them to be your like human to human connection that feeds you on a nervous system level in your everyday life, then you're going to be really disappointed.
Yeah, I can attest to this because I remember last year I wrote a post online about male privilege and got a lot of anger thrown at me, like volatile rage. And it was interesting that people that were trying to cancel me or were saying really shameful things, none of them had ever spent any time in my spaces. And the people that were, let's say, in the membership that pay every month and they put the time in and like we have a real relationship, they were really curious. They were like, well, I know you're... character, I've come to trust you, integrity. I'm curious what this means for you, even the ones that were triggered. And we had this gorgeous, session and membership about it. We moved through so many things and learned so many things. But it was such a difference in the people who actually are supportive and I have a relational connection to, including my personal intimate relationships. And then this greater world where there's no relational support. It was like, bye, girl. You can go. See you later. Mm-hmm. Whereas everyone else was actually there for the long run. So I think what you're saying about really feeling into and anchoring into where the support actually lives, it gives you that security then to handle being disliked, doesn't it?
Exactly. And what comes to mind is marriage. I mean, I'm married almost 10 years now and with my partner for 13 years, and just having that comes back to repair. Like, we're going to have turbulence, we're going to have conflict, but what makes it different than like why it doesn't fall apart is because we're able to repair. We are committed and care enough and have a support team of community, coaches, therapists, people who can help us help ourselves and help each other and not just feel like, not just believe the trauma response that comes up that, oh my God, it's terrible. I'm going to die and everything's going to fall apart. I'm never going to get anything done. I'm never going to make it. Like, this is awful. I'm terrible. Da, 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 da. Like, no, it's like we have nurtured this web of connection within ourselves with each other. We have specific people that we do pay to help support us individually and together. And then we have our friends and family, and we have built a lifestyle of connection that really honors the possibility of repair, because this is what is missing. We have such a disposable culture, all the way from the physical things we use to the way that if someone doesn't have the same political view as you, you're like, I can't be friends with that person anymore. What if we could just repair and find connection and navigate the differences? And that doesn't mean we have to all agree or all buy each other's things or all be friends. We cannot be friends. We cannot talk to people. We cannot buy things. But we need to, in my opinion, I'm like, this piece about repair, this is where it's coming in. It's like, that is the difference between just this like single line of consume, extract, and waste. Repair is what turns that into that ever regenerative cycle of growth. I have a master's degree in soil science because I'm obsessed with compost, and my undiagnosed untreated ADHD took me down that rabbit hole to the master's level, which I had, I immediately did not even work in soil science. But from what I learned, it's like, yes, this nature, the earth, if we look around, it has repair. It has repair on many different time scales and in many different ways. And we have forgotten that. And this nervous system work is so, like, I have repaired my access to ventral vagal, to that safety and security. And I can now be activated or triggered and come back to safety instead of sliding into shutdown and collapse or going into anxiety. I can come back to safety. This is repair. This is coming back and it's not static. And so like this, it's like, it really is. I love that your holistic life navigation, because this is, it's a very holistic picture instead of looking at it from like just this one little thing that this one thing has to happen and my whole life survival hinges on this. And if I don't do this, it's like, no, we need to cultivate these rich connected lives, and it doesn't happen overnight,
is what you're saying, like more options. So this is my final question, because we're actually almost out of time. What does, based on what you just said, what does secure marketing look like? And I'm sure it looks like many things, but from what you've seen with clients and with yourself, what does it look like when someone feels safe and secure in their body, and from there they connect or market with their audience? What does that mean? What does it look like?
Yeah. And like every person's outer approach will look different. Like someone could be secure and running ads. Someone could be secure and putting out flyers. Like the outer motions, they're agnostic, I guess is the word. Like it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the inner. And some of the indicators of it would be, there's so many angles I want to go at this from.
Play with your own, like if even your own experience marketing from your body. What's it feel like to be more secure as you market now?
Yeah. It feels like I'm calling in my friends, my soul family on some level. And not everyone that I sell to or market to has to be my friend, but I'm so stoked to put myself out there because I know my broadcast is attuned to attract those people that are, you know, there, we're going to refract each other's colors in certain ways and play and make songs and music. And I don't mind, you know, I'm marketing, but like marketing music, like we're going to live and engage, and it's enlivening. And like when my clients have sessions with me, they go away feeling like enlivened. And that was like a massage for the soul. And so much of the work is really just noticing what's happening in one's body and actually honoring those reactions. What is your capacity now? And people are often trying to leap over a chasm when they can really just take a tiny baby step.
Yeah.
And the baby steps do add up. And we've been taught we have to like take this big dramatic thing, have this big dramatic plan. And I pull people back to what is actually their capacity right now.
Yeah.
And you'll be surprised how quickly one's capacity can, all of a sudden the next baby step is the chasm and it's easy, but you can't just leap. And so a lot of it looks like breaking through, breaking down, composting these misconceptions that people have, or these beliefs that people have about what they should do or supposed to do, or how it has to look, or what they have to be, like da 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 da.
So let me reflect this back to you, just because we have to close. You said two important things.
Mm-hmm.
You said about, I feel like I'm calling in friends, and we're reflecting each other's colors. Mm-hmm. That's really important to me, because that speaks to the, I think with the transactional marketing, it's a tendency to say what you think someone wants to hear. Whereas with this more like relational connecting marketing, you're just sharing yourself. And through sharing yourself, some uniqueness of you comes out, and it touches a uniqueness in them that resonates, right? Mm-hmm. And then that's where you're saying this family piece. So I think that part's really beautiful. And then the second part you're bringing in is really about titration. It's like, how do I see my goal. Let's say there's my goal, what I wish I could do. Okay, what is my actual ability today based on capacity, like you said? And if I want to send out one newsletter a week, but my capacity today is just to sit and dream about the newsletter, not even write it, I start there, and then it leads me to that. I love that, because again, transactional marketing bypasses the body and capacity because looking at the goal, right? But this more somatic relational piece is saying, where am I now? What's my ability now?
Yes.
For those people listening, how can they get in touch with you?
Yes. There's one other piece I want to say about them, if I can, just real quick.
If you could do it in a minute.
Yeah, okay. Because even when we get into the space of, I want to send a newsletter, but all I have the capacity for now is thinking about the newsletter. When we come from that angle, what I've seen with myself and with my clients is this is where we are tapping into the concert and co-creation beyond just ourselves and that linear mechanical, this does that. Like, I like the numbers, I track the numbers, I do these things, conversions, I understand these things, I like to know them. But also, when I've noticed, when me and my clients go into what we actually have capacity for, then things that we, those synchronicities show up, the things that, oh, I'm sitting thinking about my newsletter and that's all I have capacity for. And then a friend calls and is like, you know, I would really love to hear you talk about blah, blah, blah. And you're like, you know what? I was just thinking about that. And then you get a little boost, like
that's
things
right.
like that's where the co-conspiracy of the universe comes together. And it's like, let's fucking help you.
Yes.
or the things that you need to face in your nervous system, the activation waves that have not completed, they will show up to be completed. And it's not that you've done the wrong thing. It's that, oh, I've done what's my capacity, and now the wave is going to respond with what I have capacity to process, and that's going to expand. So it's like we're in conversation with the co-creative force of the universe, but we're also being very tangible and tactical, and you know, it's a both and.
It's a both and. And it's even that speaks to the relational piece. Like, it's beyond you. Like, you're doing it, and other things come in that are beyond your awareness or logic. They're going to help propel this whole piece.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So how do people find you?
Yeah, you can get in touch with me at natalie.net. And this year I'm experimenting with doing marketing mapping strategy sessions. Helping people will come together, and at the beginning of each month, we'll look at like, what is it that you want to do with your marketing? How are you going to reach new people? Are you going to nurture your people? What are you going to promote? What are you going to say? What are you going to talk about? And we're going to just map it out in that, you know, guided by that somatic experience, guided by your body. But we're going to put it out at your pace, at your capacity. What does your marketing map look like for this month? And I also love moon cycles. So if you want to do it by the moon cycle, you know, we're going to acknowledge like what's happening in your life, what are your cycles, and really make that nice map that you can return to as a touch point, but is flexible enough for life to as life unfolds that you can pivot.
Mm-hmm. It sounds excellent. Then you get to visualize the somatic. Mm-hmm. Like, you might not be able to know your own cycles. Once you map it out and you put it somewhere, you get to see them. That's gorgeous. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Natalie. And one of my gifts is helping people know what to talk about. They're like, what am I talking about? I'm like, you are going to know what to talk about after we leave.
Especially with you. Like, I think what people maybe get from this is you are like a bubbly, excited human being that's very, very easy to talk to. And it's like when you're working with that, if I'm working with someone around marketing, I want that energy. I want someone that makes
it
exciting.
Fun.
Yeah, it brings fun to something that's so heavy and logical usually. So I think you're the excellent candidate for that bridge, you know, from like logic to relation.
It's so, the little mycelial mushrooms.
We're closing the mycelial mushroom right now. Mm-hmm. And we're going to let this,
I appreciate
what's the word?
Luis?
Thanks, love. The spores.
Yes.
We're going to let the spores. The spores will go into the world when they're ready. We're going to go inoculate some minds. That's what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. Okay, love.
Thank
give
you
a big
so much.
Hug. And thank
hugs.
You so much. I'll see you somewhere, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Take care.
Bye. That's the end of today's episode. Now let's take a moment to notice where we feel the episode in our bodies. Close your eyes. Take a breath. And let whatever wants to come up, come up. And remember, those sensations hold the wisdom that we're looking for. If you want to go deeper, visit holisticlifenavigation.com. Hey everybody, it is time. It is time to hop on a plane, a train, a boat, a goat, a bike, a car, and find your way upstate New York to a little town outside of Phoenicia. I don't know what the town's called actually, but the place that we're going to be in is called Menla. And it is a gorgeous, epic retreat center in the middle of the forest in the Catskill Mountains with a spa and organic vegetarian food with lots of beans and yoga in the morning and a swimming pool and a swimming hole and trails. And yes, it is an HLN retreat. It is a 5-day retreat from Wednesday, June 12th to Sunday, June 16th. It is the biggest retreat we've ever put on, and the entire team is going to be there. They are all flying from different corners of the country to come together to hold you in the healing magic that is somatics. We will be teaching you how to belong without having to fit in, how to find safety inside of yourself and share that with others, how to receive witnessing, how to feel for your boundaries instead of fawning. We are going to cover so much, and you're going to be doing it in the most ideal setting of being fed, of being loved, of resting, of enjoying the forest and nature, and being with us and 60 other bodies. So please go to the website, holisticlifenavigation.com, and click on events, and you'll find it there. Wednesday, June 12th to Sunday, June 16th. All the info as well can be found directly through the link in this episode details. I am just so thrilled for this, and I can't wait to see some of you in person.